We have a real treat for you this morning. I don't know if you remember me saying last Sunday, I said it in both services, that we weren't sure if the series was done or not. We weren't sure what the Lord was doing. And during the service, I had mentioned that I had a vision during worship that we were no longer, quote, coming to church. I literally saw that. We weren't, quote, coming to church, but we would gather every week to celebrate what it is to be the church every day of the week. And so when Gretchen heard me say that, she texted me during the service that it was very similar to some words that she had gotten, some directives, and even something she had submitted to the elders as well for 2020. And so as we kind of conversed, we realized, hey, we should get together and have a conversation just about how can these words we get, these directives that the Lord gives us, how can they be made flesh? I've told you before, He doesn't give us series out of boredom. Amen? He's not bored. So He's given us series, He's given us truth. We don't want to just amen it. We want to live it out, and we want to live it out through the week. And Gretchen's very strategic and practical in her thinking. So would you welcome her as she comes? And we have a conversation this morning. You got all your stuff there.
Yeah. I never know what I'm going to need, right?
Exactly.
So you just bring it all.
So bring them up to speed on your part of it. I kind of told them, you know, I shared a word and a couple of things about the word being made flesh, as well as celebrating what it is to be the church.
Yeah.
So kind of take them through where you were at.
So one of the things that I submitted to the elders for 2020 was under the heading of disciple making. And I want to read this to you because this is what I felt was very much in line with what he spoke, what he showed Steve in that vision. It says, we have to change the culture to stop focusing on church attenders and focus on making disciples, to take community to the level of accountability in their relationship with Jesus, where Sunday morning truly becomes a place for the church to come together, to celebrate each other, to connect, to form new relationships, and celebrate what Jesus is doing in our lives. Throughout the week, we go fulfill the Great Commission, and we minister Isaiah 61 or Luke 4 to those we are in relationship with and to the world. And some of you know Paul Whitlock. He was...
He was chatty after first service.
He was so excited, and he had written a bunch of questions for me. And so he was asking me them, and one of the questions was, I don't know, did he say any of this to you?
About, he gave me one of the questions about percentages,
yeah,
abiding.
What percentage of people abide? And so I said, I have a study on that. And he said, I want the numbers. I want, you know, like he had all these other questions. And I don't remember what year, how long ago it was. I'm guessing maybe 5 years ago. So not that long, okay? Kansas City Bible College, there's a college in Kansas City, and they did a study among church attenders on how many of them read their Bible, well, no, how many of them open their Bible outside of Sunday morning service, and it was 1%.
Really?
1%.
Wow.
And then they went on to ask other questions about prayer, worship, and things like that, about just connecting with the Lord. And so what I have found, and I know we're going to get into this, but what I have found is sometimes we assume people are connecting with Jesus outside of Sunday morning,
mm-hmm,
because we see them connect with Him on Sunday morning when we're around them. And unless we're involved in their consistent day-to-day,
right,
life, we don't see that.
Yeah.
And so that's where I really feel like the Lord's heart is for us, is to move us away from focusing on church attenders and focusing on making disciples. So on Sunday, we come and we get to really celebrate together what He's done throughout the week.
Is it fair to say then, if we're talking about moving from a mindset of church attender, church member, to actual disciple of Jesus, based on what you're framing here, is it fair to say a disciple would be someone who's walking and talking with the Lord every single day?
Yeah. Okay. Abiding in Him is key. And if you really look up that word, abiding in him, it's to stay and remain with him. So it's not just reading your Bible or not just praying. That's a catalyst to it. But it's not just that. It's being Christ-centered, Christ-minded, and having, you know, reading our Bible, praying, worshiping, those types of disciplines fuel and feed it. But we are to be sourced by him every minute of every day. And so, yeah. And then out of that, we start looking like him. Our character and our nature starts looking like him. And we both told on each, on ourselves, in we didn't tell service, on each other, but yeah, on ourselves, first service, about ways that, or for me, it was a way that my character and nature started looking more like him.
How challenging will it be for the body of Christ, not just Grace Church? We talk about those things a lot as far as it's Sunday's not enough. But how challenging will it be to lead change and culturize, if you will, our area of assignment if we're not walking and talking with the Lord every day? If we just see ourselves as, well, we've joked about it, that Jesus is not like a prison visit. It's like, hey, I know I haven't talked to you all week, but how are you doing the weekend?
Yeah, it's impossible.
Yeah, it won't happen.
It's impossible. It has to start with us. That's one of the things that he gave me, because we're not just to conquer, we're to culturalize. And so, you know, what does that look like? And one of the things that he said, I mentioned it last week, but if we really want to change our area or the world, we must start by asking God to help us see and address what we need to change within our own hearts. And so that's where it has to start. It has to start with lordship. Like him being absolute owner over every part of our life.
Every day, every part.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you want to talk about how we get there? Obviously, there's a decision. There's some intentionality to allow him to be Lord. There's probably a shift in mindset, too, like what you were talking about.
So I had a conversation with a lady this morning since first service. And my question was, do you know how to hang out with the Lord? Do you know how to sit with him? Do you know how, like, do you read your Bible or do you just sit in his presence? Or is that difficult for you? And the answer was, it's difficult for me. And so it's taking people, like, once you've experienced it, don't you want to take people on the same experience? Like, those of you that are Sooner fans, like, last night's game, didn't you want to experience the ending with people you love, right? So when you experience something, you want to take people with you, and you want to show them it. For me, I'm an Oklahoma State girl, and everybody I love, I want to take to homecoming, because the atmosphere, just everything about it, from Friday at 5 till the end of the game, is just something that I want the people that I love to experience. And so you take that into life. Like, people think OSU homecoming or OU football is life. It is not life, people.
Amen.
Okay. Right. but you take that same concept into life. Like, what true life is. And when you learn to sit with him and you learn to hear his voice, like, you want to help each other. Like, you want to help other people do it. And that's what it's got to take. Yeah.
Well, and then I hope you're drawing the correlation that if you love a football experience or whatever, then you invite somebody and you go with them. But Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to us. So, falling in love with him, sitting with him, and if you have somebody that maybe doesn't know how to do that, but you can do it with them.
Right.
You can invite them and do it with them to experience his presence together.
Yeah. Jesus called it making disciples.
Yeah.
He took his disciples up to the mountain to spend time with the Father. He took his disciples out to minister, to lay hands on the sick, to just so many things, preach the gospel.
And Gretchen was telling the story in first service of, bless you, of a lady that had overcome alcoholism just here recently. And just what a powerful, powerful testimony it was. But initially in her thinking, as she was kind of combating it, she had a goal of, you know, fixing others who struggled with it. But it wasn't until she heard from the Lord, specifically herself personally, as she overcame that, that she was empowered to even help these other people. But here's the key. Because religion will always focus on the outer behavior. You need to stop that. Mm-hmm. Stop drinking. You know, it's hurting you, it's hurting others, whatever. But what he did, the Lord didn't go after her outer behavior. He went after who she's intimate with.
Right.
He changed who she loved. Yeah. She fell in love with the Lord, and then alcoholism didn't stand a chance.
Right.
Because he's the power to lead change in people's lives. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And if we're not careful, and we talked about it in that politically incorrect series, if we run to the world to try to fix people's behavior, he's the change agent. So our major is not bringing people to change behavior. That would be the effect of the king. We want to get them to the king personally, transformationally, and as he changes who they're intimate with, who they're in union with, the byproduct becomes change behavior and freedom from things that keep us in bondage.
And it has to start with us. So one of the things that I shared with her was what Steve's talking about is, because she was very adamant on these others needing this fix in their area of substance abuse and things like that. And all I said is, in disciple making, we have what we call, or a term that we say, is it always starts with us. So what is it that the Lord wants to do in our life, in our heart, not looking at these that need a change? Yes, our heart breaks for people that need freedom and things like that, but what is it there? And that's lordship. Yeah. When you say you have every area of my life to be Lord of, and then all of a sudden all those things start happening.
It has to come, the kingdom has to come fully in us before it'll come fully through us. And he had shared that with me a few years ago. And all that means is, Steve, I want to be Lord of every area of your heart and every day. She may talk a little bit later about how he set out to clean up her language.
I'll just talk about it now. You know, there's some of us that don't mind everybody knowing all of our crap, right?
Let me say this real quick. In Matthew 16, you remember when Jesus was talking to Peter, he said, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. My Father in heaven showed that to you, and it brought change. It's the same. We can tell people all day long, quit sinning. But if we are a catalyst to bring them to the change agent, Jesus Christ himself, when they hear him say, this is who I am and this is who you are, and that thing you're involved in is not who you are, and man, it has power. It has transformational power. And so I just think I had missed my step in this one area. I'll tell on myself and then she can tell on herself. But I remember the Lord asking me and the elders 3 years ago, he said, Steve, if the kingdom of God came to Choctaw, Oklahoma, what would it look like? And my response was, well, you know, marriages would be healed and the bars would close down. We wouldn't even need prisons anymore.
Hospitals.
Yeah. But those are all effects of the kingdom. And what I missed in that was the cause. What would bring all that change, outward evidence that the kingdom came to Choctaw, is that the whole town, everybody in the town is what? Abiding with Jesus, madly in love with Jesus, knows him personally, walking by the power of the Holy Spirit every day, involved in community and connection and godly relationship. Does that make sense? Those are all things that bring that transformational change. And so that's kind of what we're talking about with the woman that was delivered, and then she'll talk about the Lord cleaning up her mouth and her hand gestures, I believe is the other one.
But, I had really good hand gestures.
But the bottom line is, we can't get the cart before the horse. Intimacy with the living Christ, that's where life change begins. And if we're not careful, religion will major on behavior modification instead of the one that they fall in love with, where all those things just fall off because of the freedom. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 3? The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is lording, there's liberty. All those things have to go, but they go out of love and out of power, not out of demand or religious thinking.
Yeah. I was reminded as you were talking, and I will share my cleaning up my mouth story, but this is another mouth thing, I guess. Man, there's a lot of issues with my mouth. But so when I was 19 and a half, I came back into a relationship with the Lord, and it was totally different, and it was awesome. And he's talking about like cleaning up the outer. You know, some people would say, well, you need to change this and this and this, these things about me. And those were all true. Right? But he wanted to really change me, not what I was doing or not doing. So I remember having this conversation. I was working part-time as a secretary at Life Christian for Paul Whitlock and John Davidson, and I was driving down Westminster headed to work after my college class that morning, and the Lord said, do you really want to quit smoking? I was like, yeah, please just deliver me. And he said, throw them out the window. And I said, well, it's a new pack. Right?
Oh, boy.
And then I said, and that's littering. I mean, like, I'm supposed to obey the laws of the land, right? Using
never
scripture.
Obeyed them before,
right?
But today I will.
I'm going to use scripture on the Lord. But, and so he said, do you want to be delivered? And, I said, yeah, because, my dad, I started smoking when I was about 13 because he's a farmer and he always had a cigarette. He was the Marlboro man, always had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, except when he welded. So when he would weld, he would say, hold this. Well, I would just finish it. And that's how I got started. But I threw them out the window and it was gone. Like it was gone. But I had been in a relationship with him for like 6 months before that. And he had been growing me from the inside to have the desire to want to be rid of that. Because it's not like, I wasn't going to hell. Now, maybe I was going to get lung cancer and get to heaven faster. I don't know. But the same happened. Jody and I were in Red River, New Mexico in July of 2018. And the Lord said, and intentionally investing, this is where this story goes. But I had a guy that was intentionally investing in my life and still is, but it just looks different. And he would always say, Gretchen, I'm reminded, let nothing unwholesome,
Ephesians 4,
come out of your mouth or your fingers. And I would go, I know. And that was kind of it. He would remind me often. And so I'm in Red River, New Mexico, and the Lord says, I want you to fast three things. And one of them was cussing. And I was like, fast? That means like it's temporary and I'm going to pick it back up again. I mean, like, this seems odd that you would tell me to fast this. And so, what he was doing is he was shifting my mindset from the inside to be displayed on the outside. And over time, because it was always in my mind, him asking me to fast that. And now I probably slip up once every 3 or 4 months and say a cuss word. Like, it's totally different. And it wasn't any effort. There wasn't, I mean, like the effort was just like, you have ownership rights over this part of my life.
Amen.
And that was it.
That's good.
And it wasn't a list of rules he gave me. Yeah. You know?
So I want to talk a little bit about culturalization, because we've thrown that out a couple of times. Could you imagine, so when Jesus came to the earth, his desire was to change the culture of the earth to look like heaven. It sounds like this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wouldn't it be, it'd be interesting and sad at the same time if the Lord had brought a church to Choctaw and we just went around telling everybody about that when they're dead, they could go to heaven. Well, that would not be culturalizing Choctaw. That would just be getting everybody excited about leaving. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not what we're called to do.
Right.
So we want to be present in Choctaw, and she'll probably talk about this in a little bit, but we want to be involved in education, politics, government, finances. We want to help. We want to have relationship with the mayor or, you know, people of influence, because we want righteousness, peace, and joy to rule and reign in our area of assignment. Does that make sense to you? We want to change the culture. So when the Romans would conquer a territory, they wouldn't just leave it in shambles. They would go in and conquer it, and then they'd send in governors, teachers, educators, and so forth to make disciples of Rome.
Right. So they actually went with the armies.
What do you mean?
Well, they didn't conquer it and then send them in. Like when they went to conquer
all those people
yeah,
with them. Okay.
Because they were going to do it from the moment it
happened.
And
they would train them in the culture of Rome. So that's what we do. We don't want to just, are you saved? Okay, so if you died, you'd go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. No, they need to know how to live.
Right.
They need to know how to live the Christ life. Can I get a witness that life is hard? Life is challenging. I mean, you think about it. We all get touched. We all get touched in life with hurt and pain and loss. Some things maybe we saw coming. Other things we didn't see them coming. Mm-hmm. And people need to know that there's a group of people who have victory in their heart. And that can hold their hand and take them by the hand and lead them to the source of real joy and peace in a world that can be challenging. Mm-hmm. And so when the church would run in and the gospel was just about making sure we could all go to heaven, the earth was left uncultured. But our role, if you read scripture, our role is to fill this region with righteousness, peace, and joy. Love over hate. Good over evil. And allow people to be introduced to the one that can lead them through challenging times. Does that make sense?
So how do we do that if we're 1%?
If we're 1% abiding, we got to start abiding. We got to start getting to know the Lord.
If 1% of us is abiding,
because like you said, it'll never happen. It'll never happen if we don't all know the Lord. It can't be, well, thank God that Steve is in Choctaw because now, no, it's going to take all of us. And I'll go further than that. It's going to take a lot of healthy churches in the region who are not praying against each other, who are not, quote, competing for church members. Mm-hmm.
Or
come
scared.
On, somebody.
Or scared of what? Of each other.
Oh, yeah.
Or I mean, you
scared,
know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
so,
you're going to steal my people.
I finished this book. Well, and there's another thing. We don't own anybody.
Exactly.
The Lord owns them all.
Right.
You need to know that about us. We are not interested in, quote, possessing you. Some of you, we want all of you to be equipped, and some of you, he may tell Don Leopard back there, hey, I need you to go to Jones. Mm-hmm. I need you to go to Edmond. The Lord may say, I need you in Africa. You know what we do? We bless her.
Or across the street.
We would bless her. Yeah, or across the street. Because the kingdom is needed in other places. We don't possess anyone. You all belong to Jesus. So our role is to get you to him, hearing of him, obeying him. Does that make sense? And then to go land where you're supposed to be and till the soil there in the name of the Lord. So I finished this book a couple of weeks ago. It's called Origins. And on page 22, there's 6 directives from Jesus to his church. And this is what we're talking about in shifting mindsets so we can begin to produce a culture in the region. There's a church in town with church membership, but we want to affect the culture. So 6 directives from Jesus to the present day church. Number 1, shift your focus from going to heaven to filling the earth with the glory of God. Shift your focus to filling Choctaw, Walmart, Crest Foods, Carl Albert High School with the glory of God. Our assignment is not heaven. We didn't fall from heaven. Amen. We fell from our leadership position in the earth. That's what Christ came to get us back. So we want to affect change here on the earth. Doesn't mean, hey, I know that when we pass from this body that we go to heaven. I'm not, amen to that, right? But nobody in heaven needs our help. They're all here. So until then, we want to bring heaven into the earth. Number 2, shift your focus from fatalism, meaning like the world's all, it's all terrible. Shift from fatalism and escapism to victorious, spirit-led living. Man, our culture needs to see people of victory. That who do get touched by difficulty and pain, but have a source and a dimension by which we overcome. Shift your focus from identifying as church members to identifying as citizens of the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't say repent because the church members are here. He said repent, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God has come to your town. How about this? Shift your focus from stockpiling members to sending leaders. We're not here to possess you so we can brag that we have this many people. We want you to be raised up, be in love with Jesus, be empowered, and go change the world. And if that's part, if that's here with us, then so be it. But if it's in New Zealand, then amen. How about this? Shift your focus from preparing God's people to leave the planet to preparing God's people to lead the planet. We want to lead the planet. We want to lead in politics, government, education, all the areas where we can have influence.
We lead by serving.
Yeah, not by dominating.
Not by dominating or not by complaining.
So if the schools call us and need help, guess what we say?
Yes.
You bet. If the mayor calls and say we need help, guess what we say? You bet. Yeah. Now we're not going to violate scripture. We're not going to violate the spirit of God. But they've never asked us to do anything like that. So, but we want to serve. That's how you lead change. That's how you affect. I mean, if Jesus came to serve and not be served, I think all of us probably can take from that we need to serve and be given. And then last one, shift your focus from separated congregations to the united body of Christ. Churches partnering together to bring godly transformation to their cities. Mm-hmm. Heaven's a good place. We all agree. Good culture there. A lot of love there. Baptists and Pentecostals high-fiving each other in heaven. There's unity in heaven. That's what he's saying here. Yes. Let's recognize we're a part of something bigger than just Grace Church. We want the kingdom of God manifesting in the earth.
Mm-hmm. So if the statistics are that 1%, let's just say it was off and it's really 5%, that's still that abide and sit with the Lord, know what that looks like, then how do we help people? Because obviously Sunday morning has not worked, or 100% of them would be, I mean, the survey would be 100%.
Sermons on a Sunday have not changed the world.
Right.
Do we agree?
Right.
So it's got, the word's got to get in his people. Mm-hmm. And then his people have to lead change.
Yeah, with intentional investment. And so the last year and a half, what paradigm shift have you had in just in intentional investment in people?
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I'm somewhat extroverted. So in a room like this, I want to shake everybody's hand. I want to see how everybody is doing. What gets lost in that is, Norma may need to visit for half an hour and we need to walk through some things. That in my personality and gifting would be more challenging for me than maybe some others who really see the value of doing life and intentional investment in people. I heard it said one time, you can influence a crowd, but if you want to impact somebody one-on-one, you know, small group, two-on-one, three-on-one. So what she's asking, I've noticed over the last year and a half, Gretchen's intentional, intensive investment in people within the church and really beyond the church, where, you know, once a week for like an entire year, they commit to meet together and invest in each other and learn what it is to learn from Jesus. Not from her, but to learn from Jesus to be like Jesus. And so in watching that, I have had a paradigm shift where I really see the value of intentional investment and relationship in smaller groups. Mm-hmm. And there's a gentleman in First Service, I talked about him earlier, named Marlon Corey. Some of you may know him. He's one of the sweetest guys you could ever know. He's 71 years old. He looks like he's about 50, but... he was one of the ones that I felt like the Lord said, spend time with Marlon. Just invest in him. Get to know him. And you guys walk towards me together. What a great statement. you guys get in a small group of men and you guys walk towards me together. I would have never known, Gretchen, how to pray for Marlon. I mean, maybe you can get it on a Sunday morning in some conversation, maybe.
If they're people like us and we're fine with who readily volunteer.
You know,
like, hey, here, pray for this and this is why.
But Marlon's helping, he and Dee are helping raise their 5 grandchildren, and the guy, he's working full time. He's got so much, and my heart just goes out to him. I would have never known how to pray for him and love him well.
Right. If
I didn't listen to the Lord about intentionally spending time with him. Mm-hmm. And as I've said many times, Gretchen, nobody's got to roll me out of bed on Sunday. I love the corporate church. I love the body of Christ. But I have seen the value this last year of what it is to get together in smaller groups and really sit together around Jesus together. So that's changed.
And if you remember when I read what I read, based upon the vision of us not coming on Sunday mornings and having church, or is taking community to the next level of accountability in our relationship with Jesus. There's not, I don't know how many people are in this room, but unless you're in an intentional relationship, I have a feeling nobody's going to contact you this week and say, how's your walk with the Lord?
Yeah, right.
Or what did you hear today that spoke to your heart, and what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, amen.
It more than likely, it's not going to happen. But when you're in that relationship, like what Steve's talking about, you have that, like, you're putting yourself out there to be open, honest, and vulnerable with people, but you're also saying, hey, I want to be accountable to you in my relationship with the Lord.
And notice the verbiage there, in my relationship with the Lord, because the body of Christ, we missed our step a little bit here too, because over the years when I'd be in church, you've heard of accountability partner. Accountability partner, which sounded like a great idea, was just, okay, Steve, I know you struggle sometime with these bad thoughts, so I'm going to hold you accountable and make sure you never do them again. Well, the whole accountability was bent towards behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like how many times have you cussed this week, Gretchen?
Yeah, right.
You know.
Versus, how is your time at Jesus' feet? How is your love relationship with him? Mm-hmm. How many of you know, if I'm being, accountability is a good thing within relationship and within the body of Christ. But this idea that it's accountability about not doing something wrong, how about accountability to walking in what is right? Mm-hmm. And falling in love with Jesus, and how's your time with him? If we'll do that, if you'll abide, you have a promise in John 15. You'll bear more fruit,
right,
abiding in him and keeping him first than you ever will in your own effort or, you know, willpower, trying not to sin.
And it's fruit that remains.
Yeah, and it's fruit that lasts,
not
because
fruit that
he's
goes
the
bad.
Vine. The vine's with you everywhere.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about intentional investment too, as you begin to ask the Lord, who can I spend some time with each week? Who can I invest in? They're not becoming dependent on you. You can't go to vacation with them. You can't, if they wake up at 3 a.m. and they're having a domestic squabble, you can't just be in the house. He can.
Right. Right.
He's there.
Yeah.
If they get bad news on their job, he's there. Mm-hmm. And so it really is about connecting people to the vine, and that's how you have fruit that lasts, fruit that remains, and that's really what he's after. He loves you. He loves you, and he cares about you. So I think that accountability thing is a great word. It's not a bad word any more than devoted should be a bad word. Disciplined should not be a bad word. But it's not accountability of, hey, did you screw up this week?
Right.
It's accountability about your love walk with the living,
like you really
risen
care.
Savior. Yeah.
Like you really care about their walk with the Lord.
Yeah, because even in bad behavior, it's kind of like, oh, you're doing great. Good. See you later.
Yeah.
No, let's dig a little bit and walk together. How's your love walk, and how's that translating into, you know, your home life, your business life, or whatever?
And I ask people that I'm in a discipling relationship with, I ask them a lot, are you winning? And that doesn't mean, is your behavior lining up with this, like, Christian society's rules? It means, are you hanging out with him? Are you winning? Are you getting sourced? Are you fed? from him.
And let's tie that to culturalizing our area, mm-hmm. because remember, before I thought it was, oh, the jails closed and the marriages were healed and all that. Those are effects. What we're going after is, are you walking with Jesus? I mean, you want to see transformation. Everybody is listening. Everybody is abiding in him. Everybody's in love with Jesus. They know who they are in Christ. They know who he is. All those things that we're living daily will bring about the change that we want to see. So let's put it on America.
Right.
Can I get a witness that America could use some revolution? We need some healing. Amen? We need some healing. And while I want, you know, all of Washington, D.C. filled with change and righteousness and goodness, it's got to start with us. It's got to start with each individual that we're praying for up in Washington, D.C. Amen, somebody. Mm-hmm. Out of love for them, it's individual change. That kingdom comes in us first. And then it begins to come through us and affect change in our country, which is what we all want to see. He's the solution. He's the legislation. You can pray all day long that certain things get voted. Okay, great. But legislation cannot change our country and what ails it.
Yeah.
What ails our country is him, what the missing thing that ails our country is him. We have to know him and let him be Lord of us so he can be Lord of the nation.
Mm-hmm. So.
Amen.
I'm about ready to say something, and this is in love.
Okay.
So everybody turn on your love filters that I love you.
Okay, I got my amen button ready.
I love you, Steve.
It's dead again.
Man. Okay, so I'm about ready to say this, and I mean this in sincere love. I'm going to give a disclaimer. I heard clapping a while ago about our nation.
Yeah.
I did not see one, like, I don't know who clapped. Not one of you did I. So don't point anybody out.
I clapped.
Ah, okay. Well, then you. I didn't even notice you did. So I'm talking to you too. So, you know, it's not just preaching Jesus and it's not just praying for our nation. But what if we went into institutions that we are already had influence in? And we turn them upside down for the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So those of you that clapped, I want to challenge you in this. You need to ask yourself, what one thing am I going to do this week to help turn this around? Am I going to send an email to a senator saying, I am praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I am for you because God loves you.
Yeah.
Amen. You may not agree with their decisions. You may not agree with their voting record. But if we don't learn to agape love people, it will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never saw Jesus complain about the state of society. I saw him do something about it.
Amen.
And that's what, you know, in Steve's prayer book, he talks about the prayer, Father, use me. And that was some of what I even put together for the elders that God's really burning in my heart. We've got to quit praying about things and start being the answer to those.
To those prayers, yeah.
You know, I had a conversation with a lady. I'm going to guess she's in her 70s. I was at her house and she was at a Bible study and someone there shared about a school that was teaching, third graders, ironically, inappropriate things. And they were just appalled. And what are we teaching our third graders? And what, I mean, like, just like heart broke. And there's a place for that. There is a place for that. And like, why are we doing that here in Choctaw? Are we doing it here in Choctaw? And I said, I know we're not. And the question was, how do you know? And I pointed to the couch where my third and fourth grader were sitting.
Oh, gotcha.
And I said, because I have a third and a fourth grader. And what happened was that information had moved on her heart that she was going to contact the school board and just ask. She wanted to become informed about what was being taught.
Right.
Those are good things.
Mm-hmm.
But we even talked about how to shift that into servanthood. Like, I'm interested to know what's being taught because I'm a concerned citizen, but also I love this generation. So I'm also going to volunteer to be a testing monitor during testing week. Do you see how, like, we have to put action behind the desires of our heart?
Yeah.
If the nation is going to crap, it's because of us, guys. Because he says we're the light of the world. If the world is getting darker, whose fault is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's us. Good. We're not the light of the church.
Good.
And so, like, that's a hard word. It's like toe stepping.
That's a great word.
It's a toe stepping word, though. Like,
yeah,
you know.
But that's, so in the series Politically Incorrect Jesus, how many times did we say we cannot reach who we do not love?
Mm-hmm.
We'll never reach people we do not love. And so I love that, because one of the things why we wanted to do this is, what's something practical? Something practical is, we can write to legislators, we can write to teachers or whoever, let them know that we're praying for them, that we love them, we're lifting them up. I told the story of the guy, when I was in Oklahoma City ministering 2 weekends ago. He publicly repented for the hate he had in his heart towards Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
That every time she'd come on TV, his blood would boil, his blood pressure went up, he's angry. And he said, but Brother Steve, you're right. And he did it publicly. He said, you're right. I cannot influence who I do not love.
Right.
He said, I can't even pray effectively
for her
because of what's in my heart.
Right.
But I'm letting all that go today, and I'm going to get Christ's love for her and begin to pray for her. So we want that love to be made flesh. And I think there was 3 of us that clapped on what you said. I was one of them. I was one of them that we want to put feet to our faith.
Right. And to our passion, like, if you're passionate about the nation not doing well,
yeah,
like, you have to let the Lord change your heart toward those that are in our leadership, because you can't. It's just what Steve said. You can't effectively pray for them because you're going to pray manipulative prayers.
Yeah.
Like, I'm praying for them because they don't have it together. They're messing everything up.
Yeah.
That isn't what he said. I mean, like, I don't. Yeah. The Lord's Prayer. Kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
Yeah, I mean, that's apostolic. That's culture changing. It's not messing up, and so we shouldn't support them.
Well, and as
you know?
Gavin, you guys can go ahead and come. But as we had talked about before in that series, only Jesus can bring change.
Mm-hmm.
He's the transforming agent. We want to get them to where they're able to say, hey, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. My Father in heaven told you that. Because with the Word of God comes the power to walk it out.
Yeah.
And, go ahead.
Well, I was in a city council meeting when we were, when I was still a resident of Nakoma Park, and I was watching them, and one of the city councilmen wanted something passed, and so immediately it came on the agenda and he threw out a motion. Like, there wasn't even time for discussion.
Yeah.
No teamwork, no partnership, no whatever. And I just thought, man, wow. Like, I don't like how this works. They were trying to get me to be mayor at the time. It was kind of funny. But
wow.
About the mayor?
Yeah.
But you knew that. It's 2.5 square miles. It's not like it's Oklahoma City. But, you know. but anyway, I was able afterwards to visit with him about, like, I said, can I just throw something out I saw? There wasn't team. There wasn't unity. Now, maybe all of the 5 city council people were in agreement on something, but where's the love and the partnership and the teamwork for this city? And that's when you are in relationship with people, you're able to speak those things into government officials, into, you know,
right.
And put actions behind your words. You said something and it triggered, like, that meeting. I even remember what I was wearing and what they were wearing. You know, I'm visual, but yeah.
You know, Jesus never prayed one prayer he wasn't willing to put his own life, action, and resource behind. Remember when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, then he gave his life and he died for the forgiveness of their sins. If he doesn't go ahead and walk that out, they cannot be forgiven. Our forgiveness came through his shed blood. So that's what we're talking about. And I'm not sure what we'll do next week, but I know this. We want to lead change. And this precious woman, tell me your name again. You told me just a little bit ago. Uh-huh. Joanne. You got to meet Joanne and her daughter. They were here for the first time last week. But she came up to me after we were done. You guys can go ahead and stand. She came up to me after second service last week. And she said, we're going to change the world. That was her first Sunday here. But she said, God, through this church, is going to change the world. We're going to have impact. That's what we're talking about. But it's going to take our individual yielding. I want to challenge you. Yield yourself individually. Let Jesus be Lord of every part of your heart. And then begin to ask him, Lord, who can I be in relationship with to walk in accountability, to walk long term, to do life with, share Christ with, so that we can lead change. We don't want to just preach about it. We don't want to just amen it. We don't even just want to pray about it, although those are all good. We want to lead the change and be that word made flesh.
Yeah.
You have anything else?
Well, if we just stay as 1%.
Yeah. Let's change that. Amen.
Yeah.
If all of us agree to abide
and
sit with the Lord every day and spend time with him every day, we'll up that percentage radically. So, Father, I thank you this morning for what you're doing at Grace Church. I thank you. And Lord, it's not exclusive to us. I thank you that there's others in Eastern Oklahoma County who have a heart for this region. I even can see, Lord, in January of next year, just a big prayer rally among all the churches in this area. I see it in my spirit. And that we come together to pray for each other's assignment, that we're mindful of each other, that we love each other. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you. You've challenged our hearts in personal, heartfelt devotion to you, but, Lord, intentional investment in others as well. We love you. Lord, bind us together to do what you want to do to see your kingdom come. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give him praise this morning.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.